This is City Lights on WABE, where ATL meets NPR. I'm Lois Reitzes. Thank you for joining us. If you've young children in your life, it's possible you're familiar with our next guest's work. Judy Schachner is the author of the Skippy John Jones series of children's books, which feature not only her goofy sense of humor, but also her imaginative and detail-filled artwork. Both are on display in her new book, but with a deeper message. Sarabella's Thinking Cap hits stores next week, and Schachner spoke with producer Mike Johns.
Judy Schachner, you're perhaps best known for your books about a certain Siamese cat who thinks he's a chihuahua.
Yes.
Do you see Sarabella's Thinking Cap as a change in direction?
Well, it's certainly a completely different book, and in between this book and the last Skippy book I wrote, I wrote a story about a raccoon named Dewey Bob who was, never met a button he didn't like. And I've written about my cats in real life. And so I've written, I think in all maybe 25 or 26 books, I can't remember. And a portion of them had nothing to do with the Siamese cat who was really my cat, named Skippy John Jones. And yes, he did sound like Antonio Banderas. And yes, I did see a psychiatrist for many years. So this book is very different from that. And yet it has a lot to do with imagination.
Yeah. Can you walk us through the plot just a little bit?
All right. So Sarabella is a child who is basically an introvert. And she's quiet in school. She doesn't say very much at all, but she's very busy thinking. And sometimes children who, I'll just put it to you bluntly, this story is a combination of me and my daughter, Sarah. Some of the teacher's notes in the book are from my report cards directly. Every year, a teacher would say, Judy needs to focus and finish her work on time. Judy needs to get her work done. She has to stop daydreaming. And I have two daughters, and the youngest one, Sarah, was also a different kind of a thinker and learner from her older sister. And so quiet, introvert, but would go into her room, spend hours making different kinds of things. And I think, in school, we're still, no matter how far we've come along in education, and maybe we haven't come that far, kids are always forced to think, to fit the round peg in the square hole or vice versa. And when you don't fit or feel like you fit or you're not an extrovert, you still have a very hard time, functioning in school, getting those good grades. And no matter what people think, you still need good grades to get out of school. So this is a book for introverts who there's a lot going on in their minds, and sometimes we can't always tap into it from the outside.
What made you decide to write the story now?
Well, I had started thinking about this story at least 10 years ago, and sometimes it takes a long time for things to percolate and bubble to the top. And I had made an earlier attempt and it just didn't feel right. And then I wanted to revisit the story. And I started making thinking caps out of paper bags and putting, painting them and putting all of the things that I love to think about. My daughters who live far away now, my parents, birds, trees, cats. So I decorated this paper bag and would wear it on my head when I visited schools. And it just got me thinking that, it would be lovely if every child in school could make a thinking cap, especially those who are not great at expressing themselves verbally. And then we would know what they love to think about. So it just evolved. I make these character Bibles that are filled with collages of thoughts and ideas and paintings and words. And when I finish one of these character Bibles, then usually I have a book there. And Sarabella, it was the right time for Sarabella.
Yeah. thinking about that a little bit, the artwork in this book is, it feels like a whole other thing unto itself. It incorporates a lot of collage elements. It's incredibly colorful and expressive. Can you talk about your process in doing that a little bit? Like, did the story come first and then the art, or were you working on both alongside each other?
Both alongside each other. Making a book for me is like parallel play. So I'm not, I still have trouble considering myself a writer. I was never trained as a writer, and I only wanted to illustrate books for other writers. So for me, I have no trouble thinking of an idea. I'm very my books are very character driven. So I will draw and write along, you know, at the same time. Mm-hmm. And when the drawings get stuck, then I will work on the words. When the words get stuck, then I'll draw the pictures. And it's a very, as my editor likes to say, what one time she said to me, "Oh, you're the most organic writer I've ever worked with," or, you know, and I think that was just a way of her saying, "Oh my God, what are you doing?" I don't think anyone knows what I'm doing there, and I think they hold their breath every time I do a book. So
yeah, I mean, that could also be read as a pretty great compliment too.
I like to think of it that way, but I'm not sure she meant it that way. But I love my editor, Lucia Monfried.
In the book, there's the character of Mr. F, Sarah's teacher. Mm-hmm. He's very important to the story. He recognizes the kind of thinker that Sarah is, and he has this wonderful way of both, like, kind of reining her in a little bit when he needs to, and also letting her run when he can. Did you have a Mr. F growing up?
I did. I had a third grade teacher who was about 100 years old. At least I thought she was. She had white hair that was like spun sugar. You know, when she sat at her desk and I stood above her, it just had no beginning and no end. And it was all, you know, kept nice and tidy on her head by a little net. She could barely walk. She was crippled with arthritis. She had two hearing aids that would constantly make these high-pitched, you know, sounds. And yet she was probably the first person I felt totally comfortable with. And she recognized that I loved to draw. And I honestly don't remember a whole lot about that class or what it was about her, other than she was so kind to me, and I was very, very shy, and so she was maybe my Mr. Fantozzi. Mr. Fantozzi, in fact, is a teacher in the Wallingford Elementary School, whose class I was fortunate enough to visit and talk about thinking with all of the kids and making thinking caps. And I asked him if I could use his name, and I hope he's not going to be embarrassed, but he was great. He had nicknames for all the kids, and he had a very warm and wonderful way of working with the children. So, you know, I hope every child has a teacher that is as wonderful and as good at bringing out, you know, the interior life of some children as he was.
Do you make classroom visits often?
I used to make them, oh my gosh, a good portion of my, you know, my 26 years in bookmaking. The older I get, I just turned 66, the less energy I have. I find being an introvert myself, it takes an awful lot of energy doing school visits, and so it takes me a week to recover from one day. So I pick and choose, and I'm going on book tour Monday, so I'll be out on the West Coast, and I will be visiting schools out there. So, but not as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm interested in the way that you communicate with children through your books, and knowing that you make a point to interact with them in, you know, where they are in their classrooms.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what you get from those interactions. What the children that you've interacted with in these classrooms, what have they taught you about how to write for them?
Well, you know, I always consider myself a professional 8-year-old. I mean, my last good year in school really, and this is sad to say, but was, you know, it was third grade. And so I'm very much, I think, on their level. I have a very, very silly sense of humor. And, you know, the feedback that kids give you, the love, and is just, it, you know, if you could bottle it and just keep it in your studio forever, it'd be wonderful. But the most wonderful thing is visiting a school, you know, telling my story, letting kids know that I wasn't the stellar student in school, that I had deep issues. I had a parent, my mother was dying of cancer from eight years old on, and I didn't have an easy time. I struggled in school. I needed glasses and I didn't have any. So I love going into school and not so much talking about my books, but talking about how imagination saved my life, and how if an author had visited me when I was a little kid, it maybe would have changed my life. To realize that you can live by your wits, you can love art and grow up and have a career in art, and you don't have to be perfect in math, and you don't have to be a star. So I think, you know, having kids come up to me and say, you know, I struggle in school, or I have a parent who's sick, or, you know, just being honest with kids and having them be honest back, and they recognize kindred spirit. And so I think that's the greatest gift this work has given me, is being able to just go into schools and say, you know, I'm just like so many of you.
Well, Judy Schachner, thank you so much for the work that you do.
Looking forward to seeing you in Decatur. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Oh, thanks. I can't wait to see you, too.
Children's author Judy Schachner spoke to us from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia. She'll be in town for the AJC Decatur Book Festival at the Decatur Recreation Center on Sunday at 12:45 p.m.